The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Father, you are good and your love endures forever. We ask that you fulfill your purpose in us this morning through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and through your word. We ask this through Jesus, our mediator, our Savior. Amen. Now please be seated. There is a prolific author who's also a literary professor for his entire career at Duke University. His name was Reynolds Price, and he passed away at a late age in 2011. And for most of his life, he lived as a single man who was a practicing homosexual, living life on his own terms. But in 1984, he was diagnosed with spinal cancer, a tumor that had worked its way all through his spine, and doctors gave him only a 10% chance of survival. And while he was recovering from surgery and awaiting radiation, he had a vision of Jesus. And in that vision of Jesus, Jesus came to him and declared that his sins were forgiven, revealing himself to this man, Reynolds Price, and also promising him that he would recover and not die from this cancer. And Reynolds Price continued to live to an old age. However, he did suffer and lived in pain for quite some time during his recovery and even afterwards because of that cancer. But after having that vision of Jesus, he devoted his life to his work as a writer and also to studying the scriptures, to meditating on the face of Christ and getting to know Jesus as much as possible. And one of his projects and his devotion was to the Gospels. And in 1996, he published a book called The Three Gospels, which was his approach to the Gospels of Mark and John as a literary professional. And I want to read to you something he writes about John's Gospel that I think is incredibly profound and worthy of John's Gospel. He writes in this book, The Three Gospels of John's Gospel, he says, "The outline of John's gospel can be pressed down to one sentence, and it's this: the force that conceived and bore all things came here among us, proved his identity in visible human acts, was killed by men no worse than we, rose from death, and walked again with his early believers, vowing eternal life beside him to those who also came to believe that he is God and loves us as much as his story shows. He continues, John hands us a new thing. If 2,000 years of pious handling had not dimmed both John's story and its demand, his gospel would still be seen as the burning outrage it continues to be, a work of madness or a blinding revelation. Its plain but supremely daring verbal strategies, the human acts it portrays, and the claim it advances from the first paragraph demand that we make a hard choice. If we give John the serious witness it wants, we must finally ask the question it thrusts so flagrantly toward us. Does it bring us a life-transforming truth? Or is it one gifted lunatic's tale of another lunatic wilder than he? And it stands unchallenged as the crown of firsthand witness to a life as shocking and as crucial to the history of the world as any life known. And in light of what we read today in John chapter 6, Reynolds Price writes, "For one man to thrust through the Hebrew dread of eating blood and human sacrifice, and apparently to demand the actual consumption of his physical body, is a deed that cries for drastic response. Either exile, confinement for lunacy, immediate stoning, or obedience." In light of that, listen again to what Jesus says in this portion of John's gospel in chapter 6. And keep in mind that this is following Jesus' experience of healing all who came to him, of feeding the multitude, the 5,000 men plus women and children, of knowing that that same crowd was about to make him king of Israel by force. He left them and withdrew up the mountain by himself. And then he came to his disciples on the water and arrived with them on the other side of the lake. And all of these crowds came to him, seeking him, he said, because they had their fill of bread. And then he speaks to them about himself being the true bread of heaven. And he says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." There was an English Anglican priest named W.H. Vanstone, and he wrote, "The church is like a swimming pool. Most of the noise comes from the shallow end." John's gospel calls us to go deeper into God's presence, into his goodness, his grace, his love, and his salvation, and the life that he has for us. I once heard an Orthodox priest say that every depth of water has a surface, but not every surface has a depth. And the same could be said of churches. Every church has its superficial qualities, but not every church, not every congregation of Christians has a depth to their faith, to their spiritual life, to their relationship with Jesus, to the ministry of the church. And we as a church are called by God, and it is expressed so poignantly in John's gospel that we are called to go deeper in faith with Jesus. From the gospel passage today, I want to highlight three truths that are expressed that call us to go deeper into our relationship with God and into the person who is Jesus, and the person who is the Father, and the person who is the Holy Spirit. And one is this, that what this gospel expresses to us today is that in accord with the Father's will, the Son gives himself for the life of the world. It is the Father's will that Jesus comes and offers himself as the bread of heaven. He gives himself, and it is in accord with the Father's will. In John 14:6, Jesus said to his followers, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And what his gospel shows us is that it is the will that we come to the Father through Jesus, so that he gives himself for us. The second truth in this passage is that in accord with the Father's will, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life and be raised up at the last day. This is the Father's will, that we see the Son, Jesus, that we have a revelation of Jesus, of who he is, both Lord and Savior, Son of God and Son of Man, and that we look to him, that we believe in him. And it is the Father's will that all that look to him and believe in him should have eternal life, and that eternal life is kept with God in Christ. And it is assured that those who believe in Jesus and come to him will have eternal life and be raised up at the last day. There's a wonderful assurance given in Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, where Jesus tells us that it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Not one who comes to Jesus should perish, but that all who come to him and believe in him should be saved and have eternal life. Earlier in John's gospel, when Jesus is confronting the Pharisees about who he is and about how he is alone the person who brings freedom and salvation from sin, he makes this statement in John 5:24. Truly, truly, and you remember, you may remember last week, Father Joe emphasized the significance of when Jesus says, truly, truly. This is an emphatic statement by Jesus. I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And the third reality and truth here is that people will hear and learn from the Father and come to the Son and have life. This is the Father's desire and the Son's desire, that we hear, that we learn from the Father, and that that leads us closer and closer and deeper into the life of the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. What that tells us is that all who come to Jesus are a gift from the Father to Jesus. All that the Father gives me will come to me. The Father is giving us to Jesus as a gift. And Jesus says, and all of those that the Father gives me and come to me, I will not cast off. I will never cast out. The Father gives us to the Son, Jesus, and Jesus receives us as the treasure to him that we are. Not at all of our own merit or any qualities that we have in ourselves, but because of his undying and unfailing love and grace, Jesus receives us as a most treasured gift. And he holds us and keeps us close, never casting us out. We are a gift from the Father to the Son that the Son holds and that the Son brings to the Father. Those who hear and learn from the Father and come to the Son. In Deuteronomy 8:3, God through Moses emphasized his desire for us to come to him through hearing his word and through learning of him. It says in Deuteronomy 8:3 that was read by Janet, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God, from the mouth of the Lord. He fed them with manna from heaven, which they did not know, nor did their fathers know. But he did it that they might learn to that people live from the expression of God, from the gift of God, from the life of God." And Jesus is something that has come into the world, something brand new, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. He's come to let us know that we can have life in him. And so he invites us to hear from him, to learn from him, and to come to him, and to go deeply into him. It's his desire that we continue in his word and that we know the truth. And that truth makes us free. We're invited to be constant learners, to be his disciples, and to follow him, and to go deeper and deeper into this life, this salvation that he has. That question that Reynolds Price asked about John's gospel, does it bring us a life-transforming truth? For him and for anyone, I think, who is brave enough to believe and to go deeply into his gospel and into this word, I believe our lives are transformed by our relationship to him. And this is confirmed in the reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He is confirming a transformation that comes through our interaction, our faith with Jesus. He writes in Ephesians 4:7, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul is talking about a transformed life, putting on the new self, walking in this new life through Christ, walking more and more deeply into the life of Christ in righteousness and holiness. But it all comes through our coming to Jesus, who has offered himself to us, bread from heaven for the life of the world. So I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to press into Jesus, to press into the life that he has for us, to press into his word, his spirit, his body, and the ministry that he offers to us, that our lives would be more and more transformed into his life, because it's his life that is truly life. So let us dive in to the depths of God and pursue him more and more. Amen.